But now,
we could do whatever we want.
He's discovering the possibilities.
Don't you worry about cholesterol?
Why?
And living life like there's no tomorrow.
Phil Connors!
Ned!
Because there isn't.
I am an immortal. I have been stabbed, shot, burned, frozen, electrocuted. I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god.
Welcome back. We are back with another edition of the Fantasy 40 Podcast. Myself, John Abari, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, and always brought to you by our friends at Expand the Box Score. It is slowly becoming rookie draft season. If you need some advanced stats, see what these guys did in college, see what their measurables look like, be sure to check out Expand the Box Score. Use the promo code 40 and get 4 days for free while you check it out. Walk. Super Bowl on the horizon. We got some other NFL news today, and today we're going to be talking free agency. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I was just watching myself slowly transition in here, so I guess my internet quality isn't up to snuff, so this should be interesting. But yeah, it's a perfect week for us to talk free agents, amongst other things, as you indicated. There are a few, you know, big things that have occurred recently or even today on what is 2/2/22 Groundhog Day. So, you know, we were exchanging messages before this, so I think we probably understand how both of us feel about, you know, the number of things we're going to discuss. But it always makes for entertaining conversation when we don't discuss it live beforehand. So what are we going to talk about first? The epic fails of divisional weekend. What is it called? Championship weekend?
We got to talk Washington.
We're going to Washington first? Okay.
Yes.
Right out of the gate, Groundhog Day, the Washington Commanders, which was leaked yesterday by, like, everyone. I mean, I didn't pay any attention to it, but it turns out that the pro shop at, I guess it's still FedEx Field. I'm not even sure if it's FedEx Field anymore. Whatever it's called. They had already updated all the merchandise in the pro shop.
I didn't hear that.
And there was it was like sky something footage that they had, like, cameras trained in on, they could zoom, and they had all the images, the logos, the jerseys, the pennants, everything for the Washington Commanders. That was it made its way around Twitter, along with all the pictures of the uniforms and all, which came to pass to be accurate. As you saw the official release where it showed the guys in the three different renditions of the uniform, the white, the maroon, I guess they're going to call it, and then the black uniforms. But it's trash. It's literal, just trash. And the fact that they likely paid millions of dollars for some marketing firms to establish this name and the uniforms and the logo and everything while trying to maintain the legacy of what was the Washington Redskins. I think they failed miserably in this from literal soup to nuts. I mean, half of their uniforms look like direct ripoffs from various universities around the country.
I hate that it says Commanders above the numbers on the maroon jersey.
And sure, every player on the Washington Commanders does as well, to be totally honest with you. I mean, it looks hokey. The black uniforms look like Arizona State. The maroon ones give me Florida State vibes. And the white ones, I haven't decided yet, but they're ugly too. I mean, they're just bad all around, and the name is terrible. You're going to try and, like, make it military-based. I always had the inkling that's what it was going to be. And in our group chat, I threw out the Admirals made more sense, and it still does. Sounds like a way cooler name than the Commanders. I don't understand military naval hierarchy. But Commander just seems like, I don't know, just doesn't really have, like, the appeal, the cachet that I think, like, the Washington Admirals even would. They need to reach out to me. I'm wearing maroon today. You know, I could make a couple hundred grand telling them what they should and shouldn't do.
You mentioned, I don't even know what the logo is. Is it that weird W? Is that the logo?
I think they're retaining that. Yeah, I don't know that there's, like,
well, there's a different one. Looks like tape.
An image. Oh.
So okay, so now I'm out even more. I didn't even think of the logo till you said the word logo. And the only thing I've seen is that weird W. So I don't like it.
Yeah, they're literally.
You could have done ships. If you were admirals, you could have a cool fucking battleship on the side of your helmet, or mm-hmm. some sort of cannon from a ship. There's tons of just cannons. Could be old school cannon, like from a old piratey ship. You had a lot more options. Commanders is what? I mean, the only thing I could kind of imagine is similar to a Patriots logo one day if they change it in 4 years because it sucks.
Yep. So obviously this is what you're talking about, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's
that
it.
That is it because this is on their official Twitter, the Washington Commanders, the official Twitter. Their hashtag is hashtag take command, John. That's take command. That's probably the best thing that came out of this because these jerseys are trash. I mean, this is terrible. I mean, even Chase Young himself seems very confused by the.
That looks like the Texans' fucking weird, ugly.
It's strange.
Alternative uniform.
Yeah. I mean, the black ones, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I didn't think I liked them.
The thing with the black ones.
Nothing to them, so that's maybe why.
It says Commanders on the shoulder, which I hate. That little.
Of course it does.
Chest thing is stupid.
Yeah. I mean, at least the white one just says Washington on it, you know, so to make you happy, at least that one doesn't have various. I mean, I guess that's the commander's call. I'd tell you to cease and desist from your defamation. But I mean, it's atrocious. And as I'm watching this more and more, they had cars that were wrapped in this new getup. These commander cars are headed around the DMV today. Be on the lookout. I didn't see this. Did you see this? You're still on mute.
No, I haven't.
That.
I mean, what is
this? It's just like, cars wrapped in their new logos and stuff. And then there's like panel vans that have like what would likely just be the pictures of all the players in these uniforms.
DC's got record carjackings. God, I hope one of those ends up
staggering throughout. Oh my goodness. Yeah, this is terrible. I mean, here we go. So this is the logo.
No.
And somehow that's involved too, which looks like it has.
I don't hate that. That's kind of like the.
Then.
Yeah.
The best one was this one that has like a true football. Like and not American football, European football type vibe, which I kind of dug when they were the Washington football team. I did.
It grew on me. I hated it at first because it did remind me kind of soccer. But it, as it went on, I was like, this isn't terrible. It's better than this. It's better than Commanders.
You should reconsider, you know.
Yes.
They can pull this all back. Yeah. You know, what was it? It was 2 years. It took them to come up with this. This is what they landed on.
And yeah, how many millions?
Yeah.
They don't even have a logo. How about that? They don't even have a logo.
There wasn't one woman involved in this marketing process either, because Daniel Snyder does not allow it. So it's terrible. It literally, my stepfather is a Washington fan, and he's like old school. He never wanted it not to be the Redskins, and he's like, I don't know what to say. Like, I might be done. Like, this might be the straw that broke the old camel's back, and I can't be a fan of the Washington Commanders anymore. They're terrible.
Well, the initials, and I saw someone else tweet that out, and then I think I sent it in the group chat. Now their initials are WC, and the majority of the world, WC is for water closet, which is the toilet.
Okay, yeah, you had to get me there because I understand the water closet. But see, I see WC, I think wheelchair. I think workers' comp, but this is because it's the industry I'm in. Those abbreviations mean things totally different.
No, they're all shitty for a football team.
Yeah, none of them are banner. The WFT was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted to go WTF. That always confused me where I was going. You know, am I talking about them or am I, sending that obligatory tweet response to someone for saying or doing something they shouldn't? But yeah, it's bad. Now they're stuck with it. And now that you have this imagery of, you know, like a battleship, like a side turn battleship, black, just like coming at you on the side of a helmet would be beautiful. It would be like, I would at least be like, all right, the name fucking sucks, but the logo's pretty fucking cool. Yeah. They tried to go like uber simplistic with it. And it's probably because they were like, what the fuck are we going to do with the Commanders? Oh, we're just going to keep the W. Is that what we're doing? I mean,
that's terrible.
Yeah, it's almost like they couldn't land the boat. They couldn't land it. They couldn't dock the boat. At the end of the day, they had the opportunity to be better, and they failed. But that about sums up the Washington football franchise. This is what they tried to fix, the logo. The entire inside of that place is just rotting at the core, and they've spent the last 2 years just changing their name. That's what they've done. Getting John Gruden fired and changing the name. That's what Washington's accomplished.
Poorly. They've done both poorly.
In the last 2 years, and they've done it literally as roughly as humanly possible.
This is a good transition. As we're talking about disappointments, let's discuss the AFC and NFC championship games and Super Bowl. So where do you want to start with that?
Well, I contend that neither the Bengals or the Rams won. The Chiefs and the 49ers lost.
True story. That's
where I land is what happened with the Chiefs not scoring before halftime literally just gutted them, apparently. They just were chasing ghosts the rest of that game. And good job with the Bengals for being able to put a good defensive scheme in place. But even that, I mean, literally, like, Tyreek Hill didn't have a catch in the second half of the game. Like, you have to think that the Chiefs would be able to adjust a little bit to get their stars involved. And they couldn't do anything. They looked like they were just in neutral. Like, they never came out of the locker room in the second half. They literally were just in the locker room going, how the fuck did we not score before halftime? And then when they came out of the locker room, they're still just like, can we talk about how we didn't score before halftime? And then the whole game, they were just talking about how they didn't score before halftime. And then the second one, I mean, up 10 points in the fourth quarter, and the 49ers can't salt that away. I mean, it ends up flipping totally on its head to where they have to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo when they did not rely on him the entire game to get them the lead.
Yeah.
They have to rely on him in the end, and the obvious happens. You know, fucking walls come tumbling down. It's insane. I was listening to a lot of sports radio, which I typically don't do. The 49ers were in tons of situations where it made a boatload of sense to put Trey Lance in there. Like, even just for, like, a play or two. And they never fucking did it. Like, Shanahan was hiding Garoppolo the entire game. Hiding him. Winning in spite of him. He has this fucking uber athlete on the sideline where you need a couple yards. Why do the Taysom Hill shit that they were doing with Drew Brees? Put the fucking kid in the game. Let him get you a couple tough yards. Let him get the defense off balance. Now, I'm not saying he should have started over Garoppolo, but he should have fucking played a snap.
Yeah, the Rams did everything they could to let the Niners win, and they just didn't. Some bad fumbles, some bad, you know, interceptions, plays that should have been intercepted. It was not...
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Rams have not been foolproof by any means. I mean, Cam Akers the week prior was almost single-handedly coughed the game up to the Buccaneers, you know. And, yeah, the Rams just didn't come out of the tunnel on fire. It took them some time, but, you know, Stafford ended up putting together, and it was literally 100% Cooper Kupp and Beckham. That was it. There was just no one else in the offense, and you still couldn't stop it. You know, when push came to shove, they took over the game. And so did that Rams defense, who played really well. So I'm happy with the Super Bowl. I did not want the 49ers in. I didn't care about the AFC team. I wanted the Rams. The 49ers would have sucked the life out of this Super Bowl. They would have tried to make it as ugly as humanly possible. And there would have had to be another week of Jimmy G talk where now, even though the 49ers tried to smoke and mirrors everything, Jimmy Garoppolo came right out and said, they're trading me. We're already discussing, you know, what's the most amicable means of trading me, you know, for compensation and for me to end up somewhere I want. So that's nice to hear from a dynasty perspective. You know, it's going to happen. But the fact we don't even have to, you know, concern ourselves with it slightly. Like, oh man, if they can't get a deal for Jimmy G, do they just like stick him out one more year? No, he's gone 100%. Trey Lance is the man. It's going to be interesting to see what that offense looks like with him. Be a lot more difficult to contain, but it'll be a lot more volatile, I think, for like George Kittle and Ayuk, and probably even to a certain extent Deebo Samuel. But that is for a later time. On the other side, congrats to Joe Burrow and the Bengals for just proving everyone wrong, you know, and just gutting their way to the Super Bowl, you know, in a mere 2 years from having the first overall draft pick. That's saying a lot, you know. So credit where credit's due. You know, they still beat the Chiefs twice in the last like month. So
yeah,
something to be said for that.
Yeah, they I know what you're saying about the Niners not being in there, but this was a whole group of teams. I have no feeling towards one way or the other, good or bad. I think I said on Twitter, to me, this is the apathy bowl. Like, I just don't really care about the Bengals as a franchise. I like Burrow. I mean, obviously for fantasy, I like lots of these guys that are in the game, but from a football fan perspective, I don't care about the Rams as a franchise. Don't care about the Bengals. This is a game I do not care about for real football.
I mean, the irony is the Rams still don't have fans. There was a report that the 49ers had more fans at the game in SoFi than the Rams did. And it sure sounded like it. It was louder when the Rams were on offense than it was when the 49ers were on offense. And the Bengals, no matter what Joe Burrow does, they'll always just have this like stepbrother mentality, you know, as an organization, because Mike Brown is just, you know, he's not an owner like the rest of these owners are owners. Like, this guy's like trying to make every penny possible with as little investment as possible. Like, he's going about it the old school way when Jerry Jones is building like whole cities for the players to practice in. Like, Mike Brown's like, no, there's a dirt field out back. You guys, you can do that and mow it when you're done. Clean up after yourself.
Yeah, he seems like a 1947 type of guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, isn't this, that's one that's been in the family forever, right? I mean, if I recall correctly.
There's some goofiness. Like, weren't they?
There's a lot of goofiness there.
Didn't they own the Browns and then they?
The son of Bengals co-founder and original coach. Yeah, so it's been since Paul Brown.
Yeah.
Founded the Browns. How did it? How do you have on a Bengals? Son of Bengals co-founder and original. I guess, Paul Brown was the coach of the Browns, but he founded the Bengals? I do a little homework here.
Yeah. I don't know if he got forced out or what happened where they got rid of the Browns, but yeah, then they went to the Bengals. And there's also a weird story how they picked the Bengals. I don't remember the details, but.
Like the name?
Yes. Yeah. The whole thing is weird. The whole thing is weird.
Bengal Tiger when I'm in Ohio. Man, it was really. First, but with the fucking Commanders in Washington, you know, the Bengals is way cooler and their uniforms are cooler than the Commanders as well. So might have been no true substance behind it, but it's a revisionist history at this point in time.
Yes.
They are the Bengals, no longer the Bungles. So kudos to them. We got 2 weeks, week and a half from now. Who wins the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go.
I know who you're going to say.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go Bengals because I've been
100%. Yep, there's no two ways around it. You are just you're not going to go with the old home cooking. How about 2 years in a row, the home team is playing in the Super Bowl? Last year, the Bucs played in Tampa, and this year, LA plays at home in SoFi. And there's a distinct advantage, and we saw it in the Bucs dismantling of the Chiefs last year. And I have concerns that'll be the same, but I will 100% be rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've held on to my narrative throughout the playoffs. I'm going to keep doing that. And you've seen it. The Rams have tried to fumble and intercept their way out of this. It has to catch up to them. It hasn't so far, and they've tried. So I think the Bengals win it largely because the Rams lose it.
Yeah, I mean, this has been one of those years. I mean, both top seeds with the bye were one and done this year. I mean, it's just – this has been an odd playoff season. Both seven seeds proved they did not belong there. Both one seeds proved they were not the best teams in their respective divisions. So leave it to the four seeds right in the middle, literal, the line of demarcation, to be the teams that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl. So, like I said, if for nothing else, it's not the 49ers in what would have been a fucking tragically boring Super Bowl. So we'll be talking about that in a few weeks, but what we're talking about today is NFL free agency. And there's probably going to be other guys that get released that are going to hit the pool, but these guys are all UFAs. They're guys who contracts have told at this point in time. So we know one way or the other, they can go wherever they want. So how do you want to dive into this first?
I'm thinking positionally. So you kind of mentioned Garoppolo, which kind of, you know, him, he's going to be somewhere else. So I'm thinking we just start with quarterbacks and the free agents of note. There's obviously tons of shitty guys out there that'll be available, but Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Marcus Mariota, and Mitchell Trubisky. Now, when I say of note and I'm saying Mariota and Trubisky, you realize it's a thin class, but there's a lot of teams that have needs. Just off the top of my head, Houston in theory, but I think they're going to stick with Mills. Carolina in theory, Atlanta a year from now, but they're in need. But desperate need right now, Denver, Washington, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, now Tampa Bay, and the Colts sound like they're looking for one. So there's quite a few, one, two, three, four, five, six, five for sure, six potential jobs that are open, and at least three teams that are going to be kicking the tires, maybe for rookies or a backup. But if you just count those four guys that I mentioned as free agents, plus Garoppolo's five, and this rookie class, there's, six names, three or four probably go in the first round, maybe more because of the scarcity at the position right now. The quarterback's going to be a lot more interesting than we've seen in years, and that's not even mentioning if Wilson moves, if Aaron Rodgers moves, if some of these guys that have been rumored to be on the move move. So I don't really know where to go with it, who's going where, what these teams prefer, but the league's going to look a lot different next year than it did at the end of this season.
Yeah, this is a deck chairs on the Titanic situation. Yeah, at this point, because I mean, even like Kirk Cousins has been rumored about with the turnover, you know, with the Vikings. You know, do they try to get out from under him? I don't think they should, but his contract is very prohibitive, and he's going to want a new one, I believe, next year. So he's a guy you're going to have to commit to or move on. The names that you mentioned, I mean, ironically enough, I would be more interested in the latter two than the former two from a real life and from a fantasy football perspective. Mariota and Mitchell Trubisky, I think, offer a lot more upside to real football teams and to our dynasty teams than shitty ass Teddy Bridgewater, who just better not be a starting quarterback again next year. I mean, kudos to him for fighting back from his injury, but I didn't like him before he got hurt. So this isn't even like there's no like he got hurt and yeah, he deserves these chances.
I agree.
He's not even a real good NFL quarterback. He's just not. He's just like such a game manager, like everyone loves him type quarterback. And that's all well and good. You made millions and millions of dollars. Now you should be a career backup. Like, that's fine. Go make like $5 million a year sitting behind someone else for the next 10 years. And you know, going to retirement with probably like 100-150 mil in the bank. Well enough. Spot starter due to injury, but he's not anyone's starter. Jameis was unfortunate. He was playing really well with the Saints before his ACL. And I would have thought had Peyton stayed that there was a distinct possibility they would have brought him back on another 1 year, or maybe a 2 year deal or something, especially given what their cap situation was, that he would have had to come back cheap for the Saints. Now all bets are off with Sean Payton retiring due to the absolute clusterfuck that is that Saints roster at this point in time, and it needs to get blown up. So, you know, a Mariota and a Trubisky, like I thought Trubisky got a little shortchanged with the Bears. I've been on record of saying Matt Nagy just torpedoed an already down franchise throughout all this, and they did not put a lot of talent around Trubisky. I mean, look at what they're still dealing with today. Like, they're still devoid of talent in Chicago. So give me a mobile quarterback, you know, that, you know, has a live arm. I would like to see him end up somewhere and get a legit shot. Now, Marcus Mariota has been another one that I think he's ever going to be any great shakes, but he brings enough with his legs, and he seems to be like the quintessential, an organization would love this guy, you know, if given the opportunity. So let's get one of those two, or if not both of them, opportunities. I've been in a couple of dynasty leagues where people are trading for Marcus Mariota, like trying to buy low on him because they think there's an opportunity there. It's not going to be – he's a free agent, so it's not even that, you know, that they're going to move off of Derek Carr in Las Vegas or whatever. It's like he's got to land a starter's gig somewhere else, and I don't think he's going to come in and sign anywhere to be the clear-cut starter. So he'll have to earn it just like Trubisky would. But quarterback's ugly. And like you said, you mentioned, does Rodgers stay in Green Bay? Does Cousins stay in Minnesota? Jimmy G is going to get dealt. I likely think it's one of two spots, Pittsburgh or Denver, that lands Jimmy G, because they have he wants to go somewhere where they want to win. And I think both are kind of established as winning franchises as opposed to any of these other opportunities. So
just talking about
these guys elsewhere.
Just a couple of these spots, and you had mentioned it, like Denver. What free agent kind of fits there? That's the other thing. Like, the Aaron Rodgers have been rumored there so long. I don't know if Garoppolo, he's better than what they had, but does he elevate everybody around him from, you know, speaking for fantasy here, is he going to make, you know, Sutton and Judy and you know, Hamler, is he going to make those guys better? I don't know. Where I could see Winston, for example, going to Denver, just throwing fucking YOLO balls to those guys, and they could all be much more fantasy viable. I mean, I haven't heard anyone really interested in any of these guys. It's very early in the process, but none of these are great landing spots. I mean, Tampa's got a obviously good team. You could bring a guy in and he's
already. Does Tampa have a good team?
Huh?
Yeah, Chris Godwin's a free agent. Gronk's going to retire. Antonio Brown, 100% gone. Leonard free agent. Ronald Jones, free agent. They got in a good O-line.
Their defense is still good. And Godwin's getting tagged, I think. I mean, we'll talk about
sure that. I sure hope not now.
Wide receiver.
I mean, you know me on Chris Godwin. Sure. Like, set him free just about anywhere else, because I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, are they going to give Kyle Trask an opportunity?
Nope.
Are they going to try and fill the void? But they're going to lose a lot of talent because they went all in 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Because of this Brady window.
And people wanted to play with Brady.
Yeah.
So they're,
yeah, they're going to have to pay for
this. Gone. They're gone.
So they're going to lose a lot. And a lot of it's on that offensive side of the ball, unfortunately. But I mean, Nathaniel Hackett went to Denver. He has ties to Rodgers. I don't know if that means shit. He could hate him for all we know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Probably or Rodgers just
probably does.
Yeah. Or Rodgers is just posturing this entire time and was never going to leave. I mean, it would be like so Aaron Rodgers if he left after going one and done as the one seed in the playoffs. Like, it just really would. But he has to eat some of that blame as well. Like, he looked like shit.
He sucked.
Bad conditions and all. But, I mean, he was abysmal in that game. So I still think that Jimmy G is probably the best option for the Broncos, if it's me. Like, he's a competent quarterback. He's average, probably just below average. He's probably in the 20s as far as starting quarterbacks are concerned. But that, to me, is still significantly better than Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. Significantly better. You know, they have a good established run game. They have quality wide receiver talent across the board, even to the tight end position. That, no, is Garoppolo going to be just like pumping deep balls to Cortland Sutton, you know, and this offense being explosive? No, but you get creative on offense and put a lot of these guys in, you know, yards after the catch positions. I think Garoppolo is probably a good target to go get, assuming that Aaron Rodgers isn't available. I would take Garoppolo over any of these guys we mentioned in free agency as my NFL quarterback.
Oh, boy.
But it's like, do you go to Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh is shit. Pittsburgh's not good. I mean, they're not a good quarterback away. Ben Roethlisberger sucked and has been bad, but they need a whole new offensive line. Their defense is getting older as well. I mean, J.J. Watson is prime, but Cameron Hayward's old. They, you know, they Minka Fitzpatrick's young, but they Devin Bush good enough. I mean, it's not old, but they're just not as whole as they used to be in Pittsburgh. They're not as dominant of a defense. They're not going to resurrect that in 1 year. You know, so you got a couple good offensive skill players in Najee and Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Freiermuth. Like, that's appealing, but that line still needs to be totally rehashed. Does Jimmy Garoppolo want to be under siege by the AFC North all season in the freezing fucking cold? No. No one wants that right now. Rodgers isn't going to Pittsburgh either, for anyone that's curious. I don't see that happening now. If he had his brother, he's just going to stay in Green Bay if he's going to pick a cold weather climate not to win a Super Bowl in.
Yeah, it's pretty muddled. I mean, when I go through these teams, Washington is going to draft somebody. Saints, who knows? Pittsburgh, who knows? They probably would like to draft somebody. Tampa, that's a huge question mark now. Colts, if they get rid of Wentz, who's better than him? They could trash him all they want, but what are you bringing in that's better than Wentz? Probably nothing. Houston, I think, sticks with Mills, and I think they should, which, knowing what a shit franchise they are, they won't. Carolina's got Darnold, and that's it, and they need to improve that. They may get somebody in the draft, but I don't know. And Atlanta, they've got just too much money, and Ryan, he's not going anywhere now. But I don't know what they're, you know, they draft a guy and stash him for a year, which is certainly possible. But there's plenty of jobs and there's plenty of people available, plus guys that are available for trade that haven't been for a while, and several good rookies coming in. It's much more muddled than we usually see. Like, you know, a year ago, we knew the Jets needed a quarterback and they were going to draft a quarter. You know what I mean? So this year, there's a lot of mystery surrounding this, because a lot of these teams, you know, Washington, we go out, they're probably going to draft a quarterback, and 99% of the time they will. But let's say they have Winston come in and they like what they saw. It wouldn't be nuts to see them, if they don't love any of these quarterbacks in the draft, which a lot of people don't, come kick the tires on Winston for a year.
I mean, Washington has the 11th pick in the draft, and given that this is a press class, they'll still get pushed up because quarterbacks are just too valuable and teams are too desperate. But they could be talking about the second or third best quarterback available rather than the fourth or later in a decent draft where you're talking about, yeah, you know, three of the first five picks are quarterbacks type thing. That's not happening here. I mean, no one's projecting a quarterback to go in any of the top three. They're giving the Evan Neal and then the two DNs are like the consensus. Universal everywhere, you know, and it's because those teams, well, I mean, one could argue that Detroit does need a quarterback, but, you know, not egregiously so. The Jaguars are one. Houston at three, be interesting. You say stick with Mills. We haven't even addressed the elephant in the room, and it's Deshaun Watson. A year gone, and, you know, some recent reports came out that Stephen Ross was trying everything illegally possible to bring Deshaun Watson to South Beach, you know, at the end of the day. But he's not never going to play football again, right? I mean, there's supposedly, I think, February is when their court dates for the civil suit. So one way or the other, I think there's going to be clarity on the Deshaun Watson situation. I never think he plays again in Houston. I have been on record for over a year with that. I still don't understand why they paid him this entire time. There had to be ways around that, unless, I don't know, not on the record here, but they were complicit somehow. And it was one of these, like, don't say shit about us. We'll keep paying your salary every week. Go do what you're supposed to
do. They tried to smooth it over, hoping he'd come back to them. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Dude, unless, he gave like me a double bird in public. You know, I mean, you don't walk that back. He was never coming back to Houston. You know, and they've traded away talent for far less. They gave away David Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins for fucking bags of peanuts.
Yeah.
And you're clutching your pearls on Deshaun Watson, who could blow up in your hands. Like, they needed to lower that asking price a year ago and ship them off to South Beach if they could have figured it out. But he's going to start somewhere, I believe. Is it Carolina? Is it Pittsburgh? It's definitely not Houston, but he's going to eat one of those spots too.
I think Houston is so fucking stupid, though, that they would just hold him again. You're going to play for us or nobody. They obviously don't give a shit about giving him millions of dollars to do nothing.
No, they're not paying anyone else. That's why. Yeah, the rest of their roster is just veteran minimums. So it tells you everything you need to know about how that's being run. But yeah, it's ugly. We've been on quarterback far too long here. Yes. It's entertaining and interesting. But outside of Superflex, not a ton of value here outside of those top guys that could be moving. Russell Wilson supposedly isn't going anywhere. That's all but been settled. I kind of read in the tea leaves, Aaron Rodgers is either Green Bay or retiring, and I don't know that he retires. So I don't think that's happening. Kirk Cousins, I think it would take a desperate team to move him. So the only real guy is Jimmy Garoppolo and then these free agents. So we're probably going to see a couple of rookies get their shot earlier than they should by some desperate teams trying to fill voids.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Running back next?
Yes.
All right. Well,
it's a pretty thin group, to be honest.
And you assume it's never thin, right? Because teams have learned you don't pay running back, so you give them the shit 1 year deals deals where they're easily cuttable.
There's not a ton of names, but for fantasy, there are some very fantasy relevant names. Fournette, Cordarrelle Patterson, who I guess is officially a running back now, are not our guy, kind of becoming our guy a little bit. James Conner, who just produces no matter how much we hate him. Chase Edmonds, Sony Michel,
still don't like
him. Melvin Gordon, and your boy, Rashad Penny. And Penny would have been a nothing, except he explodes the last couple weeks of the season. Fournette, interesting career, getting drafted early, getting cut. Almost, you know, game day scratches in Tampa, then suddenly playoff Lenny, and this year he was great. Patterson, we've talked about a ton. Edmonds looked good when he got a chance. Connor was stealing his work in the end zone. Edmonds is actually the most interesting one out of this group. And then, you know, Sony Michel kind of had a bit of a rebirth when he got to LA, and Melvin Gordon is what he is. So it's an interesting group. They're all, in theory, fantasy viable. I mean, a landing spot's going to have a big impact on that, but I don't, all these guys I think are going to have a decent role and will be fantasy viable a year from now, unless somebody gets buried, you know, behind a bona fide starter.
Yeah, pretty well said. And yeah, in case people didn't hear me, I still do not like James Conner. You know, I'm never going to come around on that big old,
he's fine for fan. I mean, in his role, he's fine for fantasy. He's just going to get those touchdowns. What, you can't complain about that.
Listen, sure. But, I mean, it took Chase Edmonds getting hurt and DeAndre Hopkins getting out of there for them to start throwing him footballs too. So it was like literally necessity where he really exploded. Like, sure, you can keep banking on one-yard touchdown runs if you want. I opt not to do that. Him and Chase Edmonds being free agents is interesting because Chase Edmonds made a paltry $728,000 last year. He hasn't made shit comparably in his NFL career. He's also going to be 26, it looks like. So he's still NFL old for coming off of his, you know, what, day three rookie contract. He's looking to cash. So I think there's more, it's more likely than not that James Conner re-signs with Arizona. I think he knows, like, this is where his bread's buttered. Best case scenario for him, they'll give him like a 2-year deal, probably in a range of like $3 to $4 million a year with like half of the second year guaranteed, like $6 million guaranteed type thing. Keep churning butter in Arizona and then bring another guy behind him. So I think Connor's ultimately going to stay with the Arizona Cardinals, and then Chase Edmonds is going to end up elsewhere, which would help James Conner. Cause if you don't have someone the caliber of Edmonds, and they really liked him in Arizona, I think, you know, he could see that workload across an entire season. He stood up to the workload, which is another issue with Connor, is that he always got hurt and he couldn't stand up to the massive workload. Well, he did this last year, and, you know, will probably like lead to them investing again. Who would have thought your boy Lenny Fournette would be the pulse of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, literally for like the last two years. I mean, he was like the straw that stirred the drink. 27 years old now, but he's going to be sought after. I mean, he proved to be a true bell cow, three-down threat. It's unfortunate that he kind of got dinged up late in the season, but came back in the playoffs and stepped right back in to that role. Him and Ronald Jones, free agents in Tampa, which leaves our boy, Keyshawn motherfucking Vaughn, doors wide open for him to come through in that, whatever that looks like next year without all those guys we mentioned earlier after Brady retires and the litany of players that are following him right out the door for greener pastures and bigger paydays anywhere but Tampa Bay. But you mentioned Melvin Gordon too. He's going to disrupt something somewhere for someone. Same thing he did in Denver. He's still good enough. As much as we hate him, he's still good enough that he's going to command like 10 plus touches. So wherever he goes, sorry for the fantasy value of the guy that, you know, that was the alpha there. I could see him re-signing cheap, even in Denver, to be honest with you. And it would still ding Javonte just enough.
Yeah.
Beyond him, you mentioned Patterson. I mean, he's going to be 31 next year. It took like the perfect storm for him to happen this year. There was nothing else in Atlanta. Calvin Ridley was gone. There wasn't any receivers worth a shit there after Kyle Pitts, you know, to take anything away from him. Mike Davis was his primary threat as a running back, who was another journeyman who had half a season, you know, soaking up the Christian McCaffrey work in Carolina. Cordarrelle's, that's not going to happen again. Resigns in Atlanta or elsewhere. He'll become a true gadget guy. He's not going to see the touch problem. He wore out down the stretch too, which I don't know if it was due to injury, but his numbers took a massive dip And then my boy Rashad Penny is going to end up back in Seattle, I believe, when it's all said and done. But he's also another one who's going to have to cash because he's not going to get another shot. He's going to be 26 this upcoming season. They didn't pick up his fifth year option. He got paid as a first round pick. So he's not dealing. He's not eating on the Chase Edmonds diet plan. You know? He's got millions in the bank, but this is his chance to cash a free agency. He's the top free agent running back, in my opinion, going to
really
be a multi-year deal.
You have him above Fournette?
I do. I do.
You're a sick man.
I don't know. I mean, there's only a year difference in age. Maybe I shouldn't have him above Fournette. I don't know. No.
But he's got – look, I get where you're going. He's got wear and tear on him.
Yeah, give me a 1A, 1B. I've always believed in Rashad Penny's talent, and he's just another guy that couldn't stay healthy. But health is important in playing, especially the running back position in the NFL. So it matters. A couple other guys weren't mentioned. Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson are both free agents as well. And now I don't give a shit about either one of those guys. Eli Mitchell, as if the deck wasn't already cleared for Eli Mitchell in a Trey Lance, you know, RPO offense. We're going to be talking about him like you and I were talking about a certain someone that plays for the Washington Commanders this time last year, you know, in a few months. It's going to be interesting. But, yeah, beyond that, there's not a lot. Sony Michel's a free agent. We knew he was just a stopgap for the Rams. Maybe they resign him. Maybe they don't. But once Cam Akers was back and healthy, it was
I wouldn't be surprised.
Sony, thanks for everything. Go sit over there. We're just giving all the work to this guy with the fresh off the torn Achilles. So he still has value. He proved it when he gets the opportunity, and he's more adept as a pass catcher than they ever let him be in New England as well. But, you know, it's unfortunate that his time as, you know, potential starting in the NFL has come and gone.
So looking at openings, and we're going long on this too, but there are a few teams that are in desperate need of somebody coming in, whether it's a starter or depth or both. Miami is a wasteland. They need a running back. Tampa, right now it's just Vaughn. They need somebody to either back him up if he's the guy or a starter. Arizona has nobody now. Atlanta needs a running back. Houston needs a running back. Those are like dire, important needs. Those five teams are going to do something. And to a lesser extent, Buffalo, I think the Jets could bring somebody in, and Jacksonville, between the guys that were hurt and everything else there. So there's quite a few spots. I think Miami is the best spot as far as, you know, fantasy production goes, and Tampa is second just because of what the depth chart looks like and what the teams need. But how much do you like Fournette in Miami? Just moves down a little further south in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be an ideal landing spot, as I was never really the biggest Myles Gaskin fan. And then there was just ebbs and flows of players producing, you know, and now Miami's going to be under a total new leadership at this point in time. So there is going to be an opportunity there. There's a few other situations too that I think are destined to change, you know, that we speak about and how free agency could impact it. JD McKissick's a free agent for Washington. Probably will re-sign him cheap, but if not, we saw that Antonio Gibson workload down the stretch. And then also Jerick Playoff McKinnon is a free agent pushing 30 years old, but not as much wear and tear as some of these other guys due to a malady of injuries for him. He looked absolutely amazing for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't see how they don't bring him back on another one-year deal, which is just going to absolutely crush the CEH value, because he proved to just be a better fit for this offense than Clyde Edwards-Helaire did. And last but not least, Baltimore Ravens, old-ass Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman were both signed on one-year deal, and they gone. So it's now bring back the J.K. Dobbins and hopefully Gus Bus ship in 2022, which we all are, I'm speaking for everyone, extremely happy about, because even in a shit season, Devonta Freeman and Latavius Murray were successful in spurts.
Ridiculous.
So just imagine what a healthy J.K. Dobbins can be.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. Let's move to, unless you had anybody else you want to talk about here, let's go to tight end because it's small, not a ton going on there.
Yeah, the big guys are small.
There's a ton of wide receivers. So we could cut that if we have to make it a little shorter. But tight end, the cream of the crop is Gesicki, who I still can't believe is already first contract is up. Schultz, Njoku, and O.J. Howard, the two gems that had 17 class at tight end, and both have been kind of a disappointment. Njoku popped a little bit more this year than people were expecting, especially when they brought in Hooper and drafted the other guy whose name is escaping me. But those are the big names. Evan Engram, someone you despise. Gerald Everett, Zach.
No, I don't despise him. I just properly evaluate him. The guy has talent, but just can't fucking get out of his own way.
I blame the team.
Maybe he's good. Brighter days ahead as a free guy. He ain't coming back to the Giants.
No,
that's for sure.
Mo Alley Cox. So there's a few names here. As far as landing spots, tons of teams need help at tight end. I mean, Jacksonville, Houston's on the list for every position, the Jets, the Giants, assuming Engram is gone, the Chargers, the Saints, Arizona, now that Ertz is out of there, and Tennessee, Tampa, if Gronk is gone, and O.J. Howard are gone. Cincinnati, that's the only thing they're missing. Uzoma's fine, but imagine if they brought in somebody a little more dynamic, athletic, that could, like Gesicki or Njoku. That offense is even crazier.
Imagine peeling him away from a division rival, too.
Yes.
You know he would just go absolute bonkers against the Browns twice
a year. Yes. So there's a lot of good landing spots. Like I said, not a ton of names, and tight end isn't always – none of these guys are – I mean, they all have the upside. Schultz has been a tight end one. Gesicki's a tight end one. And Njoku's been damn close if he wasn't twice already. So there are names, but any thoughts on this tight end group?
Yeah, and I just wanted to verify something real quick to make sure I wasn't speaking out of my ass. Okay, yeah, so – he was a second-round pick. I wanted to make sure about Gesicki. But as I'm reading this, you know, you sent this PFF article over about the top free agents, and they have Gesicki as the top-rated free agent, the tight end class. And they're playing the positional designation argument with him as well, and it's the Jimmy Graham. And that Gesicki played 94% of his snaps lined up in a slot or out wide as a receiver and rarely ever in line as a tight end. Franchise tag for wide receiver, 19 mil. Franchise tag for a tight end, 10 to 11 mil. So – be interesting if he tries to fight that, if they even try to tag him, bring him back. Because when it came out early in the season, they asked about Mike Gesicki's contract, and the Dolphins flat out were like, we're not talking to Mike Gesicki about a new contract at this point. Like, literally, like, nobody was a lame duck heading to free agency. They weren't even trying to speak to him, and it's probably because he was pushing a lot of narrative that I'm not a tight end for you type thing. Pay me as a wide receiver. But he's good. He's good for fantasy. He's going to be good wherever he ends up because he's big, tall, and athletic. So that's good. Dalton Schultz proved a lot. He's going to try and go get paid too. So I could see him being out of Dallas, which then just like puts Blake Jarwin back into like a semi-prominent role with the Dallas Cowboys because they have a lot to figure out financially as well.
Yeah.
You know, do they want to keep Cooper? Do they want to re-sign Gallup or Cedric Wilson, who we will be talking about in a minute? Rob Gronkowski is 100% retiring with Tom Brady being out of there. There is not a world where Gronk plays for another quarterback, so move him from the list. And Njoku, we both have a soft spot for him. If he could just get consistent opportunity, he's super athletic, still relatively young.
He's like 24.
I have to say. I mean, he came into the league at 20, if I recall correctly.
He's 25. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this is when some of these guys actually pop. Like, that's not unheard of. That, you know, a tight end takes until their mid-20s to happen. And, you know, I think he'd be just as good example as any. You mentioned Evan Engram. I mean, he's not making it easy on anyone that's burning that candle for him still at this point in time. But the dude's super athletic.
I think a lot of him is the Giants just sucking. Like, you know, the rumor when trade rumors are flying around with him is like, oh, he could go to Green Bay. I could see him going to a place, you know, just sticking with the Green Bay narrative, but go somewhere with a competent quarterback, not a lot of talent in the wide receiver room. And he could, you know, see a huge resurgence.
Yeah, that's true. And Njoku, 25 and a half years old, O.J. Howard over 27, and Engram, who I was in, he's older than O.J. Howard. He's 27.4 years old. So, sneaky older than I had thought. You were mentioning Uzama earlier. Uzama's already 29, just got hurt again. he's not in the future. So yeah, that could be a plum landing spot for, you know, one of these free agents. And you mentioned Ertz as well as a 31-year-old. I think he fit in really well with the Cardinals. They made the trade to land him. I think he's going to end up re-signing with the Cardinals, much like I said for James Conner as well, where they, because they're, I almost think they need to. They're kind of in a win now window already, like a forced win now window, even though I don't think the team's that good. So signing, re-signing these veterans is probably going to be a priority, on except for like AJ Green. There's no way they bring him back. But yeah, not the sexiest season for free agent tight ends. A year ago, we probably would have been all excited about Gerald Everett hitting free agency again after 1 year of hitting it and getting a 1 year deal in Seattle, where he got hurt, had a couple splash games, but you know, wasn't consistent at the tight end position. Well, he's a free agent again, so he'll be a name to watch. But you're right, it's not the sexiest class.
I could see him staying there. They seem to like him. I mean, aside from the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, and one would have to think he's going to have to come even cheaper than the 1 year he got the year before.
Yeah.
All right, now for the cream of the crop. Divas. The wide receiver position.
And a ton of teams need help. I think there's, I think I listed like 22 teams that could use some wide receiver help.
Yeah, so I mean, everyone goes three wide these days. Someone goes four wide. And
yeah.
So everyone's looking to upgrade their wide receiver too. So 32 out of 32 teams probably could say they could upgrade their wide receiver too. Probably a little bit of a stretch. We do have a couple AB combos like Lockett and Metcalf where maybe they're three, but they need massive upgrades at their three as well. So no one's that deep that their stocks, you know, their shelves are stocked three deep at wide receiver. So these are the guys that are going to get paid in free agency.
Yeah. So the top two, without a doubt, it's Davante Adams and Chris Godwin. I am of the belief both of them get franchise tagged and they don't even hit the market.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And reading here, and I hadn't heard it directly, but I assumed it indirectly. Davante Adams made it clear he wanted to become the highest paid player at the wide receiver position. So, don't know what that number looks like currently, but
I think DeAndre Hopkins is at like $30 million or something insane. And no one's going to match that.
No. So, it's, you know, they're going to tag him, even if it's a tag and trade, which I think a lot of that depends on his buddy Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. But yeah, he's 100% intact. They're just not letting him walk from Green Bay, whether they attempt to retain him or not. But then that kind of limits his options as well if he's tagged, because the tag will be just shy of $20 million for,
which is a lot better than 30.
Yeah. I mean, and this PFF tool is projecting contracts, and they're saying a 4-year contract in the range of 23.25 mil per year average. So we're talking 4 years, just under $100 million for a contract for him. I mean, shit, Amari Cooper got $100 million and Davante Adams is light years better than him. I guess age,
he's going to have to settle for a more guaranteed money. That's what's going to happen. They'll give him equal guarantees to like Hopkins, but they're not going to. No one, not even just the Packers, no one's giving him fucking $30 million a year.
No, nor should they. I mean, and that's the unfortunate, because he is the best receiver in football right now, but he's also, I believe, 29 years old already. Yeah, he turned 29 on Christmas Eve. So he's already past the age apex. And while he'll be a very good receiver, probably for the duration of a 3 to 4 year contract, you're not getting the best years of Davante Adams. And if anyone doesn't think that the hyper-targeting from Aaron Rodgers is kind of propped up what Davante Adams is, all that scheming in the red zone, those fucking incessant 1 yard touchdown passes to him that just seemed to not happen for any other receiver in the history of the NFL. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, would have told you to sell this year. But again, you'd say, oh, of course you would have said that. The year's over now. But, you know, just looking at this train coming down the tracks, like, what do you, best case, would he get one more year of him and Rodgers? And then you're in his age 30 season, you know, or his age 31 season a year from now and trying to catch passes from Jordan Love, or maybe even not with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, now we're talking about a low end wide receiver one, not the wide receiver one. Yeah. I mean, shit could change real quick for Davante Adams. You mentioned Chris Godwin too. I hope they don't tag him given Brady's retirement and everything. And I don't know why they would tag him, to be honest with you. If they're kind of just been forced into a rebuild, it might not make sense to tie up, you know, that type of capital, you know, in a Chris Cobb, especially coming off of an ACL. That's unfortunately, and I want him elsewhere, you know, let him cash in free agency, where I think he could end up with an Allen Robinson type deal. When Robinson was coming off the ACL with Jacksonville and still signed a mega deal with the Bears. Godwin's a better receiver than Allen Robinson was, even at his peak, in my opinion. Both Penn State products, ironically enough. But Godwin is just not in Debo's vein. One of the more versatile wide receivers in the entire league. Can play inside, can play outside. Just super reliable. I think the world of him. So I'm excited to see what happens with Chris Godwin. Him being tagged would be the worst thing to happen for him, for me. Real NA fantasy football perspective, in my opinion. But we're going to have to talk about guys 3 and 4. I already mentioned Allen Robinson. I don't know why he's 4 in the pecking order here on PFF. I think
I call this the Matt Walker tier. We got Allen Robinson and Mike Williams back to back. These are this is your territory. I don't like either one of them. So you can go off on a tangent here and what you think where they should go and what you think their upside is. Because,
The irony, both of those guys, PFF projects from to get very similar contracts to Chris Godwin, and I don't think they're even close.
Yeah. No, but, I agree.
I mean, that's – not arguing PFF's projected contract valuation.
Williams could, though, because some teams just love getting those big guys in there. And I don't know, you know, as we go down through this list, and obviously some guys looking to make less money, but Detroit, to me, even last year, is just a fucking wasteland at the position, and they need – wide receiver help. I could see any of these top four. I don't know what Detroit's cap situation is, but I think it's pretty favorable. I could see Detroit making a big move for any of this top group.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. Again, like you said, we'd have to dig deeper into our cap situation, but yeah, they need help. I mean, I still am not buying what people are selling about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Quintez Cephas is still just there somewhere in the ether for me. But, you know, Josh Reynolds was getting major burn for them. Khalif Raymond, yeah, they need help in a big way. And I don't know if Jared Goff would be able to maximize either of those. I mean, kind of an Allen Robinson makes more sense to me for Goff than a Mike Williams downfield threat. But Mike Williams, 27 years old. Allen Robinson, 28 and a half. So, but a little over a year difference between the two. Just Chris Godwin hasn't even turned 26 yet. That dude's about to hit his prime. Like, you're going to get prime Godwin for the length of whatever contract, you know, if you assume he's going to get like that 4-year type deal for him. Mentioned already, Devontae Adams is already 29 years old. And there's a few other names because who knows where they're going to land. I'm not going to project where they're going to land. There's, to your point, everywhere. That's where wide receivers are needed in today's NFL, everywhere. But a few of the other guys, and not necessarily going down a PFF list, but guys that are shown here, I'm on spot track as well based on what people made last year. Will Fuller's still getting pumped. He's about to be a 28-year-old who had 1 year of steroid-ridden production with the Houston Texans. And already saying he's going to get another 10-year deal. Whatever franchise does.
A 10-year deal?
Sorry, $10 million. $10 million again.
What an agent. Good for Will
Fuller. Play football. I just can't see who's going to fall for that trap. Jamison Crowder is about to be 29. T.Y. Hilton's already 32. Juju, 25, injured, production waned a ton. Should have left last year to go to Kansas City. Emmanuel Sanders about to be 35. A.J. Green's about to be 34. I mean, it's top heavy. So let's move off of those guys. Cedric Wilson, 26 years old, free agent, made $2 million last year. Showed up every chance he got for Dallas when Michael Gallup was injured. And Michael Gallup, who unfortunately had an ACL himself, is a free agent as well. What are your thoughts on, do either one of those guys end up back in Dallas? And if not, is there buy low upside in both of these guys?
I mean, we talked about a little with Schultz. I don't think they're in a very good cap situation.
They never are.
But I'm buying both of them. Do I think either one is a true fantasy wide receiver one? No. But I bet you could get Cedric Wilson for a third, especially when all the draft hype really starts picking up, especially if he doesn't land somewhere before that while he's still floating in limbo. And Gallup, I don't know. I've got him in some spots. Do you think the Gallup owner is like happy so far? Probably not. So my guess is you could probably get them both cheap. If I'm thinking you could get Gallup for mid to late second, unless someone's just a Gallup fan and is savvy and knows he's going to probably land somewhere and have a good year. But those are two guys. I have little arrows next to the name on my sheet here. I like both of them as guys who can probably get cheap, who I could see having a pretty sizable ROI going into next year for what you would pay for them today. I like both of them. Aside from the top names, those are guys that I'm targeting this offseason.
Yeah, I went and got a ton of Gallup in so many different leagues prepping for free agency 2022 with him. I mean, and then literally to tear his ACL so late in the process. I mean, shit, my exposures might be the highest on Gallup and Chris Godwin, and both of those guys tear their ACLs before they're going to be free agents in the final quarter of the season. I think both were in December, like super late in the season. Ironically enough, Noah Brown and Malik Turner are both free agents for Dallas as well. So literally everyone behind Cooper and Lamb are free agents. I mean, the cupboard is bare.
Yeah.
What I got, Simi Fehoko, they're sitting there as like a day three draft pick for them. But I think one's going to get re-signed in Dallas, and it's going to suck because you just can't, that's not consistent production. You know, so unless an Amari Cooper gets released, which he's extremely cuttable.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Whoever does end up there, I like as a long-term stash because I don't think Cooper is not long for Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, and looking at Gallup, he was 5 on the PFF list. They're saying he's going to get a 4-year deal in the range of 14 mil a year. That ain't happening in Dallas unless Amari Cooper's not there. So you're projecting him to be out of town, and I can't even get down to see where they have Cedric Wilson down at 15 in the free agency with no projection. There's names above him that I don't even know are relevant, to be honest with you. We already mentioned Will Fuller. DJ Chark is a free agent. They said he's 3-year, 13 mil average. How? Why?
No one's giving him 36 million.
No, zero. Christian Kirk, 3 years, 12 mil average. He's good. He's like a milquetoast wide receiver. Like, he's not going to excite anyone. He's not going to excite the coach that they who sides him, the fan base that he lands with. I mean, he stays in Arizona. He's not going to be that impressive. Odell Beckham's going to be a free agent after this.
Kirk reminds me of a little bit. If you go back to Pittsburgh when Antonio Brown was there and Juju was good because teams had to focus on Antonio Brown so much. Like, I think if Kirk landed on a looking at a big name wide receiver just because it's in front of me here. Imagine Kirk in Green Bay, where defenses have to cover Adams and Aaron Rodgers doesn't necessarily have to force feed the ball to him because everyone else on the field sucks. If Kirk lands in a spot with a real established, bona fide top NFL wide receiver across from, I could see Kirk being a lot better than we've seen in Arizona, where he's kind of thrust into that top target role.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, but the same could have been said when DeAndre Hopkins was healthy in Arizona, and he never seemed to happen, if memory serves me correctly, until DeAndre Hopkins wasn't there. So it maybe not. I wasn't crazy about Christian Kirk coming out, and you know, he hasn't really done anything to change my opinion. Everyone can have a few big blow games. You mentioned Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham are both going to be free agents after this year as well. And Antonio Brown's already stumping to go play for the Ravens. But now his buddy Lamar Jackson, he's trying to mend fences with Brady.
There is nobody. He's done.
Listen, I thought he was done before. Okay,
I did not.
And he ended up winning a Super Bowl last year. So you never know with him. Going to be 33, or he's already 33 years old. Maybe, maybe not. And then Odell Beckham, I think he's earned a reprieve in what he's doing with the Rams and shown that it wasn't all him in Cleveland and that his skills just didn't evaporate after his time with Eli and the Giants. So I think it's in everyone's best interest that he re-sign with the LA Rams.
I don't think there's a chance in the world he doesn't. I think he would take way less money just because his personality, all the other shit that he's into. He's an LA guy. He could, no matter how much money he could be offered, with the exception of the Saints, just because he's from New Orleans, I could see him wanting to go play with the Saints. But that aside,
he's definitely not going to want money if he's going to the Saints, because right now I think it's $70 million over. Well, yeah, great, a lot of clerical bookkeeping will fix that. But you want the minimum? Come play in New Orleans.
I could see him playing LA for the minimum because he's going to make four times that in endorsements, especially if they win the Super Bowl. And he's Odell Beckham, Super Bowl winning wide receiver. I don't see any world where he doesn't re-sign with the Rams, even if it's for ridiculous low money.
Well, then let's play that game out where next year Robert Woods returns from his ACL. And now we're talking about a wide receiver room that's Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Odell Beckham, and your boy Van Jefferson. As a four, it's going to muddy the waters quite significantly. Your Van Jefferson is going to disappear if that happens because he's only playing in four wide sets or giving these guys breathers. And then Beckham and Robert Woods are going to cannibalize each other. Kupp's going to continue to get his with Stafford, but we'll have just seen Beckham's best season as a Ram if he does end up back there next year, would be my assumption.
He don't care. Gets to go to the Staples Center, hang out with models on Rodeo Boulevard.
You think he lives in Cleveland? Think he ever lived in Cleveland?
Nah. But he would be living in L.A.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to see where he lands because, yeah, I don't think he's – clearly, he's not done by any means. And I think his demise was largely overstated. I'm trying to look and see.
Yeah,
29 years old, so not even 30 either. I mean, he's right in the same boat as DeAndre Hopkins, as Davante Adams. They're literally almost the same age. So
yeah, and I could see him. I mean, just his personality, like I said, just making a huge impact on where he would play. I think he's either going to be one of the California teams, so even if it's not the Rams, I could see him pushing for Miami for less money. Or back to New Orleans. And, you know, like I said, New Orleans is in salary cap hell. But I think, especially if they do win the Super Bowl, because, all right, he won the Super Bowl, kind of got his reputation back. At this point, he could just kind of play where he wants to play and be comfortable. And from what we've seen, it's one of those cities.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he'll be wanted back with the Rams, and I'm sure there'll also be other teams interested in securing his services. So be interested to see where his desires lie and if the Super Bowl outcome has any impact on that decision. But he's another one that I think deserved to be talked about. If we're talking about Allen Robinson free agency.
I would much rather have Beckham.
We should be talking about Odell Beckham free agency.
Yes, agreed. But that wraps up the names to know. Kind of like I said, this is just the primer. Get the names out there, see who's available, some of the teams that are looking for players at each position. Any aside from Detroit and again Houston, any other teams stick out to you as someone who needs to get some help at wide receiver?
My Eagles, big time. Reportedly addressing that in the draft. I don't know if that helps those wide receivers, if it's Jalen Hurts throwing them the ball, but our two and threes can't be, you know, Jalen Reagor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, you know, Quez Watkins types. They're all threes and fours. So there needs to be someone better as far as the wide receiver is concerned. The Jets, I mean, even with your boy Corey Davis and our boy Elijah Moore there, they still need help. I mean, they don't, you know, Braxton Berrios is a free agent. Jameson Crowder is a free agent. Keelan Cole's a free agent. Denzel Mims sucks at football. So there's room to be had there. Hopefully there's some growth with Zach Wilson. The Kansas City Chiefs, how about that? They need some fucking serious help because apparently if you take Tyreek Hill completely out of the offense, there's no fucking offense.
Yeah.
Because you can't rely on DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle, and as much as it hurts me to say it, Mecole Hardman, to provide any consistency. And it was referenced umpteen times. This isn't me and my galaxy brain, but imagine if T. Higgins was the wide receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because that's the decision they made to prioritize a running back over getting a alpha. Imagine what T. Higgins could be in that offense, singled all day long, just devouring man coverage opposite Tyreek Hill, play in and play out. The outcome would have been different in that game, not just because they wouldn't have had to deal with T. Higgins, eating him alive in the game. They would have the balance in their offense necessary. And I'm sure there's dozens of other threats. Jacksonville, if you're talking about Chark's a free agent, Marvin Jones is old. I still like LaVisca, but he needs to be in the slot. So you need two outside. You need two perimeter wide receivers. Jacksonville, if everything goes down poorly in Tampa, they're a little devoid as well, where you have Mike Evans and what, Tyler Johnson with Scotty Miller, you know, in
as their again, another up and coming offense. They had the Chargers. If Williams leaves,
Josh Palmer.
No. I mean, we do like Palmer, but he is unproven, and they could use somebody else to come.
Well, I mean, it's not only Williams. Guyton's a free agent as well, so there could yes. I mean, there could be a difference as far as the Chargers with that young quarterback is concerned. There's probably ones that we're just omitting. I'm staring at Jameis Winston's face, and I think you mentioned the Saints. They need.
Oh, I mean, I wrote down a whole list. I mean, the Bears, they just have Mooney. The Niners. I mean, the way they use Debo, I don't consider him just a wide receiver. So it's Ayuk and
Juwan Jennings.
Exactly. So
and,
they can
and
use
Travis Benjamin apparently.
Some depth. Miami has Waddle and they could use some help. Green Bay has always needed help for years. Tennessee, I mean, you can't rely on Julio. So it's AJ Brown and
The Colts.
Yeah.
It's T.Y. Hilton's finally a free agent. I mean, it's Larry Pittman, then what, Zach Pascal and Aston Doolin? I mean, they need a ton of help as far as that's. I mean, that whole division could probably use, you know, an influx of wide receiver talent, you know, to be honest with you. But the truth is every team needs help, you know, at the wide receiver. So passing league.
Except Cincinnati.
Except the team that drafted T. Higgins. Yep. That's spot on, sir. Yeah, going three deep. But, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, the Steelers, their wide receiver three is Ray McLeod. I mean, they use him. The Ravens, who's their wide receiver three? Is it Devin Duvernay? It's Bateman and Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
Sammy Watkins is a free agent. So what's it, Devin Duvernay now? I mean, one could – well, I mean, their wide receiver one is Mark Andrews, but one could –
Yeah,
that they could use help in the wide receiver room. So it's you're not going to find
that's
a situation
a
like
death sentence for fantasy, though.
Yeah. I mean,
if anybody signs there or gets drafted there, I mean, it's you're getting such a small piece of a already small pie.
I mean, the New York Giants. I mean, they signed Galladay and they have Kadarius Toney, but I'm pretty sure Sterling Shepard's a free agent.
I don't think so.
I don't believe in Darius Slayton. He's not a free agent? Okay. Well, he had a serious injury at the end of the season. So, yeah. I mean, there's opportunity there.
But they have so many other fucking – that team just sucks.
Yeah,
wide receiver.
They need to fix it in a draft. They have two
wide receiver might be their strongest position, which is saying something. That team fucking
– the Washington Commanders. Let's put a bow on this entire conversation where, I mean, it's Terry McLaurin and no one else. I mean, Curtis Samuel played sparingly all year. And they used Dyami Brown. There was another receiver. No, DeAndre Carter logged meaningful snaps.
Yeah.
For Washington last year. They need some serious help.
Yeah.
At the wide receiver position and the tight end. They need serious help at the pass catcher position.
And if they're bringing in a rookie like they're speculated to be doing, you're going to need weapons for that guy.
Yeah. You know, they're prime to try and land a big – they thought they did it with Curtis Samuel last year, where they spent money on a free agent, wide receiver-ish player. I mean, I think that was Ron Rivera a little too close to home, you know, during his time, you know, with Samuel with the Panthers. But, you know, they knew they needed help, and they tried to tap one of the best guys available in the market. Well, now there's going to be another round of guys. You know, they can help offset the focus that your boy Terry McLaurin sees week in and week out.
Well, I think that was perfect. Start on the Commanders, end on the Commanders.
Finish the Commanders.
Admirals.
Abandoned ship. That's what's going to be the fucking opening.
Submarine diving.
Whatever.
Which you could have used. That could be a thing. But they fucked it up. Such a botch. All right. Failures for myself, John DeBarry, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, our friends Expand the Box Score. We got some other stuff coming up in a few weeks here. Hope you enjoyed this free agency primer, Senior Bowl, Super Bowl, other things happening. We are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here. Ow!
the ass. I like apples a lot. I only eat Honeycrisp apples now. I've elevated
us too.
they're more expensive, but they're by far the best apple.
We are a Honeycrisp only house too.
Yeah, like my kids are all over. I'm like, we got here. It's worth it. You know, don't try and pawn a fucking Red Delicious on me ever again. Those mushy shit apples.
Give me that. Red Delicious are the worst apple. That's not
by
even
far
debatable.
The worst apple. By
far the worst apple. Ain't they should be the middle of the name is Ain't.
Yeah. Let me introduce you.
We were talking about apples at home the other day. That's what my mom was saying, talking about Honeycrisp and how expensive they were. She said she's at the grocery store and they were like, $1.25 or something a piece. But she didn't see. So when they rang it up, it came up like $1.25. And she was like, you know what? Just put that back. And then my mom says, she goes, you know, I fucking sit and buy a fucking candy bar for $1.25, though.
I mean, the logic is flawed, right?
Yeah. But
yeah, I tried. I kept trying to pivot back off of it. Like, this is way too expensive for apples. It's an apple. And I would go down to like a Gala or a Fiji. And I'm like, these fucking suck. These apples are terrible. Like, the Honeycrisp is just up here like, you're coming back. You have
are they mostly more expensive than the rest?
They're the most expensive apple I have in every grocery store I go to.
Huh. Now
I'm
look.
Sure there is like these apples I'm unaware of that are more expensive, but in Philadelphia grocery stores, they are the peak of the apple mountain.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've just never looked at the other ones and like,
yeah,
actually price shopped.
I mean, and sadly, it's like $1 more for a bag, and you're like, what am I bitching moan about here? There's like 10 apples in his bag. It's literally like 10 cents of
an apple. More than $1 of enjoyment. Yeah,
yeah, they are fantastic.
Here, you want to talk about splurging? It's worth every penny. Bananas. Do you buy just the regular banana, or do you get yourself a nice organic banana?
I don't know that I've ever eaten an organic banana.
Listen to me.
I'm here.
It's not even the same fruit.
Really?
A fucking organic banana? I can't eat. I wouldn't. If I was starving and you threw a regular banana to me, I would throw it back out of the pit I was starving in.
Swat it back? Give it the old combo?
Can't even eat a regular banana.
Wow. Okay. I can't see. I like regular bananas enough that I don't think I've ever said, let me try this organic route, but I don't necessarily go organic anything. It's always significantly more expensive. So I don't,
yes,
none of our stuff is organic.
Much like the Honeycrisp.
I don't care that much.
I believe the difference.
Okay. And literally you're talking like 20 cents a pound, I think is like, it's not earth shattering for the banana difference, but we typically get our bananas from Sam's Club, where you get like a 3 pound bundle for like it's literally like for like $1.50. it's like they're just giving these away. Like if you're willing to put it in your basket, you could have them. And then we throw half of them out anyway, or make banana bread because everyone says they want to eat bananas in my house. And when push comes to shove and it's nut cutting time, those bananas are just hanging around on that little stand while all the Honeycrisp apples are getting fucking pilfered by my kids. Who I don't know about yours. They like gnaw on like a portion of it, like 10% of it, and then they put it down somewhere. And I'm like, oh, no. These are Honeycrisp apples. Put this in the fridge. We got to cut this up. We got to max it. You know, this is the end of this apple. You're only a part of the way through this journey,
when it's
son.
Brown. Yeah. An interesting story that I think about anytime I talk about the bananas now, too, because I've had this conversation with anyone who wants to talk about fruit.
Anyone who will listen, yeah.
Because the organic bananas are that much better. So it always reminds me of this story. I was working with these two girls one day at work, obviously working. I'm working with these two chicks, and I'm telling them about the amazing organic bananas. And one of the goofs at work has to go to the bathroom, so the one girl goes and lets the guy in the bathroom. And I'm in the middle, so it's one girl in front of me, me in the middle, and the one woman behind me. We're probably all about 6-10 feet apart.
So COVID, cool.
Yeah. Well, coincidentally, but this was like 4 years ago. So I turn to the woman behind me to make another point about the banana. And when I turned back forward, this gentleman who looked like Beetlejuice from Howard Stern just sucker punches the chick right in front of me.
Oh, it's a chick. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Blast her right in the face.
So, at several different instances in that short story, I thought it was going to end with something about a penis. I thought it was going to be about a penis. And I thought the very end was the Beetlejuice character had his banana penis in your face.
Nope.
I was not expecting the curveball that was girl A, who's trying to be sold on organic bananas, gets sucker punched. Phew. And if you look like Beetlejuice, one of the creepiest looking human beings ever to walk the face of this earth. Yeah. That's what this guy looked like?
I mean, that's the most known person I can tell you that.
Was it Beetlejuice? Is it him? Be honest. No, and then they're not listening.
And then I jumped on that gentleman and dislocated a rib.